For our first scripture reading for this morning, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we're reading just a few verses there, verses 12 through 14 of Matthew chapter 7. If you are joining with us as a congregation, we are concluding our series on the book of Proverbs this morning. And the title of our sermon is The Destination of Wisdom. So for Matthew chapter 7, we are going to be reading from verses 12 through 14. Matthew 7 at verse 12, this is found on page 939. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. That's as far as we're reading from Matthew. We'll be reading from Proverbs in just a moment, but before we read our text from Proverbs, let's turn again in our Blue Psalter hymnals 407. 407, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. 407, will stand and sing. Together in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 16, Proverbs chapter 16, and that's found on page 630 in our Black Pew Bible, Proverbs chapter 16. And we will be reading the first nine verses and then verse 25. Proverbs chapter 16, the first nine verses. And then verse 25, Proverbs 16, hear the word of the Lord. To man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. The Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for the day of disaster. The Lord detests all the proud of heart, Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. And through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids sin, or avoids evil. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And then jumping forward to verse 25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Thus far, the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, where are you going? What is your destination? What is the direction of your life? Where are you headed? One of the things that we have considered over the past few months is, what does it mean to live a good, long life? From Proverbs, we have seen that when wisdom flows forth from your heart first and foremost needs to be made right with God. That it is in the fear of the Lord that true wisdom, a good ordered, a good structured life will flow forth. And many of these choices that we will have, or these decisions that we make, the directions in our lives, have present day-to-day benefits and blessings. Just this past week, I read an article on wellness that outlined 15 things that will add longevity to your life. In other words, according to this article, if you want to live a good and a long life, you will need to do these things. You will drink wine with moderation. You'll be kind and compassionate. You'll get good sleep at night. You'll work hard. You'll get married. And you'll become spiritual. Those are just a few of the examples that this article outlined. And looking at those things that the article outlined, we can see that there is a certain level of familiarity. As we've looked through the books of Proverbs, we looked at the various Proverbs, there's some familiarity, there's some similarity between them. There is great insight given to us throughout the book of Proverbs. But is that it? I mean, is that the end? Is that as far as we can go? Is that really all that we're concerned about? Or is there something more, something deeper? Is Proverbs only concerned with living what it would call a good, long life today? Or is there something more significant? Could we summarize Proverbs like the Star Trek quote, live long and prosper? Is that as deep as we're going? Is this it? Well, we're going to be seeing today that it is rooted, true wisdom is rooted in the heart. We have to choose which path we are going to set, which direction we are going to go, knowing that each path leads to a specific destination, a different end. If you set your heart on wisdom, true godly wisdom that flows from a heart that is right with God and a life that is living in accordance with His Word, that will bring you to a specific end. If you set your heart on being a fool, one who denies the Lord, who rejects His Word, that also leads to a specific end. In other words, each path has an eternal consequence. If you are wise, you will choose the way that leads to life and blessing. Today we look at this theme that Jesus Christ sets the way of wisdom before the church, which leads to eternal blessing. The doctrine at hand today is the coming day of judgment and the eternal state of man. Today we are dealing with life and death, with heaven and hell. In our first point, then, we come to the path of the wicked. The path of the wicked is outlined for us in 16, verse 25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. We have been seeing over the past weeks and months that the fool, the definition of a fool, is one who rejects the Lord. If wisdom is found in the heart of one who fears the Lord, as that's the theme of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of now, is the beginning of wisdom. The opposite of that is the fool. The fool is one who does not acknowledge the Lord and rejects his word. And this verse says, there is a way that seems right to a man. We could say that the man does what is right in his own eyes. But in the end, he will only find death. One of the duties or responsibilities, requirements that's placed upon us as parents is to warn our children. Throughout Proverbs, we have seen that at various times, Proverbs takes the position of a parent teaching their child. So today we've witnessed just a few minutes ago, baptism. One of the things that Spencer and Caitlin testified to is that they will teach little Kian as he grows and develops. And part of that teaching is warning them. Warning them that doing specific things leads to terrible consequences. Don't play in the middle of the road. You'll get hit by a car. Well, today we find Proverbs coming to us and saying, don't go on the path of the fool. The foolish one is one who does what is right in his own eye. Woe to us if we don't warn our children of the consequences of the foolish life. The wicked man, the foolish man, is a standard to himself. He puts people around him that tell him what he wants to hear. Living his life without consequence, without consideration, without a standard of God's law, a rebellious heart is a law unto himself. Not knowing that in the end, the price will be steep. He is, as our passage says in 16 verse 2, a man's ways seem innocent in his own eyes. He is pure in his own heart, in his own eyes. He thinks that from his own heart, he thinks everything is fine. Even verse 5 says he is arrogant, proud, lofty. But God sees and God will judge. Not only will his daily life be one of bondage and futility, striving after the wind, in the end, he will face an angry God with none to pacify. The fact is, when you are setting your life, when you are choosing a direction to go, let's say you're traveling, if you don't know where the road goes, if you don't know where this road leads, you can find yourself in a world of hurt. Just for example, how many people haven't followed their GPS to the dead-end street, into a swamp, or even off a cliff? If you don't know where the road is going, you need to be extra careful because it might lead to destruction. While Proverbs wants you to be absolutely clear, to be completely evident to you where the life of the foolish, wicked, rebellious, doing what is right in their own eyes, where does this lead? 16 verse 25, it leads to death. 16 verse 18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. The fact is, those who are foolish, who do what is right in their own eyes, who reject the Lord and who reject his word, will find themselves in the end in the grave. Not only will their present day life be filled with trouble and sorrow and bondage and conflict, they will find themselves at odds with the Lord. So not only will they have death and destruction, 16 verse 4 says, the wicked are made for the day of trouble. In the end, they will find themselves at odds with God. On the day of judgment, when the great white throne is set up, being separated the sheep from the goats, they will find themselves the goats, and they will hear those words, away from me, you evildoer, being cast out into the fiery depths of hell itself, because no ransom, no atonement means no peace with God. 12 verse 2 says this, a man of evil devices will be condemned by God. How fearful a thing to fall into the hands of an angry God with none to plead your cause. 16 verse 5, the arrogant heart is an abomination to the Lord. He will be punished. And when the new heavens and the new earth are established, the righteous will not be moved, 10 verse 30 says. But the wicked will not dwell in the land. The fact is, congregation of Christ, Proverbs is seeking to shake your apathy, to dispel your delusion. You are not God. You are not eternal. Death is coming. The day of judgment will be seen. If you do not fear the Lord, you will be destroyed. Psalm 2 says, "Kiss the Son, or you will be terrified by the Son's wrath. He will strike you, he will beat you, he will destroy you." The foolish path does not end in a good place. You may be able to deceive man, even deceive your own heart, but you cannot deceive God, who weighs the soul. So wake up, O sleeper. If you want to flee the coming wrath, you had better find a way to secure peace. While this certain end, this imminent destruction, is not to imply that there is no way to avert this end. Yes, it is true. By nature, we are all born foolish and rebellious, all by nature choosing the easy broad way, the slippery slope that leads to the grave and hell, foolish. But by God's grace, there are some who are removed and rescued. There are some who find their sins atoned for and iniquity covered. But let us never, within the church, think that it is because of our own wisdom or our human knowledge that has led to this path. The fact is, sometimes Christians come off as smug. I'm smarter than you are. We have an air of superiority. You are so foolish, we say to the world. I'm so glad I'm smart that I chose the way of life and peace. We need humility, refusing to boast in ourselves. Because the fact is, we do not choose the path of righteousness and life in ourselves, but rather the righteous one chooses us and puts us on that path. The wise life is not like karma. If you do good things will happen to you. No, because there is no one righteous. No, not one. No one does what is right. No one seeks God. We all do what is right in our own eyes. We all go astray. So how do we find the path of life? Well, here's where we come to our second point, where we consider verses 16, verse 6. Through love and faithfulness, sins are atoned for. As parents, as Spencer and Caitlin will soon find out, you not only need to warn your children, don't do this, you need to encourage the children to do this, to encourage what is right, to draw them to the way of blessing, to encourage that which is good. Well, the fact is, our teacher in Proverbs tells us that we have sins that need to be atoned for, forgiveness that needs to be found. And atonement here is a rich theological point. It brings to mind Leviticus 16, the Day of Atonement. That's where we had those two goats, and one was sacrificed, one was killed. The other one had his sins confessed on them and then driven into the wilderness. There's this idea of the shedding of blood and the removal of sin. But the way in which there is atonement or there is forgiveness, there is satisfaction made, is through mercy and truth, our passage says. In the original language is hesed and emet, which means faithfulness, truthfulness. There is a mercy and a kindness along with righteousness and a steadfastness, a consistency. We find the very same words for mercy in Exodus 34, that our God is keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. But the question we have to ask ourselves is this: whose love and faithfulness atones for sins? It's the love and faithfulness of Jesus Christ. The wrath against our sins, the wrath of God, His anger against our iniquity, is satisfied when the Lamb of God has His blood shed. And as the Day of Atonement teaches, through Jesus Christ, our sins are removed, cast away as far as the east is from the west. We could say this another way. Jesus Christ is the proof of God's love and faithfulness, and by His work, we are now justified. Hear these words from Romans chapter 3. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ is for all who believe. Titus chapter 3. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. What we have here, brothers and sisters in Christ, is the gospel nestled in the verses of Proverbs 16. There is a way for forgiveness. It's not found in me. It's not found in you. It's not found in living a good life today. It's found in atonement through the loving mercy, faithfulness, truth, consistency of Jesus Christ. It is Christ who takes us from the broad, easy path and puts us on the path to life. It is by His Spirit that our hearts, which were dead in sin, as hard as stone, are made soft, fleshly, alive. By the fear of the Lord, verse 6 says, one then turns from evil. When Jesus Christ makes us alive, we start to live the life of wisdom. This leads to a life of obedience and a life of peace. Yes, 16 verse 7 says we can find peace, not only peace with other men, but peace with God. That on the day of judgment, the Father will look at us and call us His Son. The Son will say to us, well done, good and faithful servants. Come into the blessing of my kingdom. Enjoy the blessings of life. Not only do those who are united to Christ in faith enjoy the blessings of a peaceful life today. Now, I don't mean that you won't have trouble. I mean you find peace with God today. Yes, you will have normally a well-ordered life, which leads to a certain level of peace from the hostility and bondage which is so prevalent around us. But it leads to an ultimate peace and an entrance into the land of rest, a tranquility, verse 14, verse 30 says, that gives life to the flesh. Those who are united to Christ will turn away from evil, verse 6 and 31 says, a long life connected to a righteous life. So those who are having their sins atoned for will live a life that is in accordance with God's word, not in order to gain righteousness, but because we have been made righteous. The fruit does not cause the tree to grow. It's a response. So our good works, our obedience to God, obedience to His commands, flow from the fact that we have been joined to Christ. Thankfulness coming from a heart of gratitude. That's why we turn away from evil. That's why we commit ourselves to being in accordance with God's word. That's why His law is a delight to us. Not because we can gain or purchase, but because Christ has already done it. Your sins are washed away. You're already a child of God. That's why we want to live like children of God. And those who are children of God are also promised a definite, destination. 18 verse 10 says this, the righteous man finds safety in the Lord. He runs into the tower of the Lord and is saved. 15:24, the path of life leads upward for the prudent, that he may turn away from Sheol, turn away from the grave underneath. The blessed destination that we have when we are joined to Christ, when we fear the Lord, when we submit, when we believe, when we trust and we obey, leads to a life, a blessing today and a life of eternal blessing tomorrow. What's the application of this truth? Well, the application of the first point was humility, because there's nothing in ourselves that we can do. The first application of this point is enjoy your life. What do I mean by enjoying your life? I mean, enjoy the blessings that God has given you in the proper context. You can enjoy the blessings of the wealth that God gives you, the blessings of wine, or the blessings of a wife, the blessings of a godly marriage. These things are blessings from the Lord, and we receive them from the Lord. We use them with thanksgiving to the Lord for His honor and glory. Ecclesiastes 3, be joyful as long as you live. Eat and drink and take pleasure in your toil. This is God's gift to man. So enjoy your life. Be a joyful Christian. Your life today has purpose, and your eternity tomorrow is secure. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is yours in Jesus Christ. Enjoy your life. Be a joy-filled Christian in your coming and your going. The second application is keep your heart set on Christ and His Word. Put your fear in the Lord. Put your hope in the one who can provide atonement for your iniquity. Like a loving parent that calls to his child, come to me, little one. Come to me and find rest. As we've seen, godly parents warn about the foolish life and the destruction that it brings, and encourage to the way of life and the blessings that it brings. So today, Jesus Christ is not only warning us against the easy, broad path that leads to hell, but He is drawing us to Himself in life of blessing. It's not only our fear of hell, but our enjoyment, our desire for heaven, of seeing our Savior's face. So today, brother and sister, you need to be honest with yourself. Do you truly hate the life of sin? Do you truly love the way of wisdom? Do you love the Lord? You know that His path, Jesus said in our earlier reading from Matthew, the path to life is hard. You're constantly saying no to yourself. You're saying no to the fleshly desires, to your evil cravings. But it will lead to life and lead to blessings. In the end, you will find joy and joy everlasting. To conclude, the book of Proverbs sets two paths before us. On the one hand, we have the easy path, the foolish path. Do what feels right. Do what you want. Be your own law. Do what's right in your own eyes. Go along with the crowd. You'll find that this life is hard if you go on this path, because you'll become enslaved. And you will find the consequences are death and the anger of God. Or choose the path of wisdom, the path of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Yeah, there are hardships on this path as well, because our enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, continue to battle against us. But there are blessings in this life too. Blessings today to enjoy, to rejoice in. And there are ultimate blessings, peace with God, fellowship with Him, and life everlasting. Choose you this day which path you will take. Choose carefully. Be wise. Know the end of the matter. Look down the road, see what comes ahead. If you want lasting peace and fellowship with God, then submit to the Lord and to His way. You'll fear the Lord and believe in His Son. Jesus Christ this morning sets before us the way of wisdom. Sets before us the way of wisdom and says, this is the way of blessing and life. So follow me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. It's easy, it's light. Learn from me. Feed on me, the Lord's Supper says, and I will give you life and life everlasting. Come to me and I will wash you, baptism says. I will cleanse you. I will purify you so that you will be white as snow. Praise God for wisdom. And let us all this day choose the way which leads to life. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings that we have had this day to be reminded of the importance of our life and the coming day of judgment. May your Spirit, O Lord, work mightily in our hearts and the hearts of our children as well, that we and our children would choose the way of life, the way of wisdom, the way of peace. Drive foolishness far from our hearts. Bring us to a place of peace with you. For in fellowship with you there is life, and life everlasting. Amen.